A reading from Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But, as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country, and out of all the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Matthew chapter 21. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace peace be unto each one of you this night, in the name of our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is actually hymn number 334, O Lord, How Shall I Meet You?, which we sang just a few moments ago. And you're certainly invited to open to that hymn and follow along if you desire. Dearly beloved, as we this night prepare to receive our Lord Jesus when He comes, we consider this hymn written by Paul Gerhardt, one of the greatest Lutheran hymn writers. Now, I know that sometimes you wonder, Pastor, why do we have to sing all the stanzas of these hymns? Well, you should be thankful, because this hymn originally had 10 stanzas, of which only 6 are provided for us in our hymnal. So while we do miss some of the richness and beauty of the full hymn, the stanzas that we do have give us plenty to comfort and strengthen us. Now, this hymn is particularly appropriate for the beginning of Advent, because Advent is a season of preparation to meet our Lord Jesus. Now, while many people think of Advent merely as a countdown to Christmas, if they think of Advent at all, it really is part of the countdown to Christ's return in glory and judgment. That's the coming we're really waiting for and preparing for. After all, as God's holy people, our constant desire and constant prayer is, come, Lord Jesus. Yet, even as we await the glorious reappearing of our Lord Jesus, we cannot divorce it from His first advent, when He came to win the world's salvation on the cross. This happened when the very Son of God, born of Mary in Bethlehem, fulfilled God's law by keeping it perfectly, even suffering the divine punishment it demands for disobedience, and rising from the dead. All this Jesus did in our place, and He gives us the benefits. Yet, all that our Lord did for us and our salvation so long ago is brought home to us in the here and now, when He comes to us in grace to deliver His forgiveness and life, and He delivers it straight to us. And of course, that comes through the clearest in the preaching of His word and in the body and blood in His supper. Yet, Jesus came in time, and He also comes in grace to distribute His salvation to the individual believer. And He will come in glory to judge the nations. To help us prepare for that great and awesome day of the Lord's return, Gerhardt asks, O Lord, how shall I meet You? How welcome You aright? That's a good question to ask. After all, how can we sinners ever hope to welcome the Holy Jesus? And why would we want to? The answer, of course, is that Jesus is our hope and our heart's delight. He is the one who makes us His people. The one who gave His life for us is the one we ask to lead us to repentance by giving us a clean heart. For without Him, we can do nothing to please God. But with Him, we can ask His help to do in spirit lowly all that may please you best. And isn't that what God's children want to do? Don't we who have been made God's holy children want to do what pleases Him? Well, and then we're led to consider the Holy Gospel for the first Sunday in Advent. Tonight, we heard that Gospel from St. Matthew's account. This prior Sunday, we heard it from St. Luke's account. And with that picture of Palm Sunday in your minds, we claim to join those pilgrim throngs on that day to adore the one who comes in the name of the Lord with joyous songs and psalms. We join our hosannas to theirs because He has come to save us. Have you ever seen a picture of someone who's been rescued? If they're able, they welcome their deliverers, their saviors, with open arms and bright smiles. You can see the joy radiating from their face. Indeed, how can we not welcome Jesus even more gladly and give Him all the glory and honor due Him? After all, He has rescued us from sin, death, and the devil. And so we come to the third stanza. See how full of gospel it is. I lay in fetters groaning. You came to set me free. There it is. We who were in bondage to sin and death have been set free by the Lord Jesus. Of course, that freedom came at the cost of His life, which He willingly paid for us, for you. And this is true freedom. For when we take an honest look at ourselves in the mirror of God's holy law, we see how utterly sin-laden and fettered we are. We see that there is nothing good in us. And yet we don't despair of our sin because Jesus came to honor me. Imagine that. Jesus came to honor you who were covered in shame. And He did that as He clothed you with His righteousness in your baptism. All those who remain faithful unto death will receive the crown of eternal life. This crown, this treasure, is safe on high, because according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Though earthly riches fly away, our heavenly treasure will not fail or leave me, because it is God's gift to you in Christ. Only then, only after all of this, does Gerhard finally get to Christ's first advent. And what was the cause of Christ's coming? The answer is love. Love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. Yes, God became flesh out of love for you and his desire that you dwell with him forever. O Christ, your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. For it was love incarnate who gave himself to be nailed to the cross, and not only for you, but for the entire human race. Such love we can hardly imagine. Such love that would willingly die even for one's enemies excels all love we can think of. Such is the love of Christ for you. Unless you think that God does not or cannot love you because of your sin, or that your sin is too great, let the love of Christ dwell in you richly. Sin's debt, that fearful burden, cannot his love erase. Your guilt, the Lord will pardon and cover by his grace. I've heard that same thought expressed another way. God has more forgiveness than you have sin. After all, love covers a multitude of sins, and God is love. You see, Christ Jesus has procured for you full and free forgiveness for all your sins. And through that forgiveness, you have peace with God. And with forgiveness and peace, God's children also have eternal life in heaven. And that is the goal of our faith, isn't it? And finally, we get back to where we started as we prepare for our Lord's second coming. When Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead, it will be a time of unbridled terror to his foes, those who rejected him and his forgiveness in this life. But to those who are his, to those who hear his voice and follow him, it will be a light of consolations and blessed hope. It will be a time of unfettered joy and gladness. So as we eagerly await our Lord's advent in glory, we pray, O glorious Son, now come. Send forth your beam so cheering and guide us safely home. Indeed, we await our good shepherd to lead us to the green pastures and beside the still waters of eternal life. O Lord, how shall I meet you? How welcome you aright? By his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his promises, he is preparing you to rest from your labors and in the arms of your shepherd. God grant you a blessed Advent as you prepare for your Savior, Lord, and King, as he comes to you in grace, so that you will always be ready to meet him and welcome him when he comes in his glory. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.